I grew up in church. My dad was a Baptist minister, and I love the church as an organization. Where else in our society can you be intimate friends with people that aren't like you? Where you could have a banker and a mechanic on the board of deacons or in the leadership team. I've been known to say that even if there was no doctrine and no commitment to the spiritual life, I still would be part of the church because it's such a unique sociologically interesting place. In fact, I read an article a few months ago that said lots of families are returning to church, whether they believe anything or not, because they need that fellowship. But this week, after working a bit with the scriptures of the vine, I think that's probably nonsense. I'm not here because of all of you. I'm not here because this is a place I can hang out. I am here because this is where I can stay connected to what is most important in my life. I can be in community with God.
Yeah.
So the scripture says we are branches and the source of life is the vine. Kayla McClure, who you all know, in her comments about this week's scripture in the small booklet she wrote, makes a point about the call of the branches, and here's what she says. The branch does not need to be the source of all that is good. The branch does not need to be the source of all that is good. Only to serve by letting the sap flow. Letting the blossoms come, being a good holder of fruit in season. The branch fulfills its calling. So does it help to think of the vine as the church holding that so the fruit can blossom? No, churches come and go. If we thought the vine was a church, then we'd be in trouble when the vine died, as churches do. The vine is the actual flow of God's love, and that's what we stay connected to. We have to find a faith community that helps us do that, and this church does it in two specific ways. One is the idea of call. We as a community believe deeply in the idea that everyone is called to contribute to God's kingdom in a specific way. Mary Cosby defines call as something you just cannot not do, something you have to do, even if it seems crazy and unattainable. We nurture that thinking in this church. The results of that thinking are amazing. Just think about the call to start your mission, to provide GED training for the city, the family place, Joseph's house, the first potter's house, and the renewal potter's house. Have you looked lately in the front of the church directory at all the 501c3s that have been nurtured as a result of this church? And that's because a person talked to another person and said, I have to do this, and set out to do it. You may think that's what churches do, but it isn't. So for some reason, you have put yourself right in the middle of this type of church. Wonder why. The other way we nurture people to stay connected to the source of life is to help individuals identify and then celebrate their gifts. We say that loud. Not everyone has the same gift, but everyone has gifts. And when you're living out of your gifts, you're staying connected to the vine, the source of life. And the result is, you will be bigger fruit. It's just going to happen. Kayla says it this way. Fruit bearing is the natural consequence of branch being. Branch connected to the vine will yield fruit. And here's the really good news. We don't have to struggle to work hard to bear the fruit. No special knowledge, special skills, special anything is required. We have to stay connected to the flow of what is real by eliminating what is not real in our lives. That's the pruning. So the juice is God's love can keep flowing. As I speak this morning, I'm aware that many of you are facing difficult challenges in your life. Staying close to the vine, to God's love, does not eliminate the challenges. Rather, it gives us a source of strength and creativity to deal with the challenges. I think of our clients at OAR, and that's a nonprofit I run that helps folks when they come home from prison. And I wonder how different their lives would have been had they been able to stay connected to God's love. And interestingly, many of them know that when they come to us, they want to renew their faith journey. We're not a faith-based organization, but I have experienced that when I don't get to meet with clients all that much, but when I do, they'll say, could we pray before I go? And we do. I think of my brother who served 6.5 years in prison for a crime he did not commit, and he did stay connected to God's love and is coming through that ordeal with amazing grace and forgiveness, stunning forgiveness. You may want to ask, why me, God? Why is this so hard? Why did my loved one die? Why can't I find work? Why is my child so sick? Why can't I find a life partner? Well, here's what I know from having had those questions in my own heart. God's love is sufficient. You'll be able to do what is necessary if you keep God by your side minute by minute. The Al-Anon meetings I went to sometimes multiple times a week for over 3 years helped me stay close to God through a difficult passage in my life. As I learn new practices about letting go of what I could not control and letting God be in control. This community provided a bed of love where I could be honest about what was going on and share my burden. What I can tell you is, stay close to the vine, to God's love. As I speak, I'm also aware there are some of you who are waiting on a call for your life. You want to be of service. You know you have gifts. What I can suggest, based on my experience, is listen and be bold. If you talk with others in the community, you will hear amazing stories of how individuals quit their jobs, moved here to be part of Church of the Savior, went back to school as an adult. Bold actions. Many of you have heard my own story. I was finishing graduate school, and I knew that I could probably go to work for the Southern Baptist Convention Sunday School Board as a writer. But then I heard a sermon on Psalms 137. By the waters of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captives asked us for a song. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? There I was, sitting in a little Baptist church in Champaign, Illinois, and I heard my call. I knew I could sing the Lord's song in the familiar land of the church, but what about the foreign land of the secular world? That was the year President Nixon was being impeached, and I figured that good people were needed to make our government better. So I packed up a small trailer with my books, a bed, and a Victrola, and I headed to Washington with $500 in my pocket. That's probably about $1,000 today. I worked at Dart Drug for 60 cents an hour for 4 months so I could work during the day, could work at finding a job during the day. I handed out 150 resumes before I got a job. And in that process, on a Tuesday afternoon, having read Call to Commitment while I was in graduate school, I went to the Church of the Savior building and met Pat Sitar to ask about taking one of the School of Christian Living classes. And she said, well, the only class available was Bill Price's class on servant leadership. And the blurb about the class read something like, learning to be God's presence in the workplace. Really? An affirmation, one of many in my life, that I was walking in God's love. That was 41 years ago, this coming July. So here are some questions Kayla posed out of the scripture. What comes naturally to me when I allow it? Where do I need to cut back and be more fruitful? What practices give me the strength to hold on? One practice is certainly to show up here each week to be a blessing as well as to receive a blessing. I'm grateful to be on this journey of faith and commitment with you.